Yes.
We're good.
Keep that one.
You're a runner.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be a runner.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, everybody. Well, if you were here this weekend with for the workshop with Guy Hansen, I think suffice it to say, and maybe not suffice, I mean, it was blow away. It was blow away, right? So what we thought was tonight, let's just have a family discussion about just what your thoughts and feelings were about it. There might be some things that you disagreed with or some things that hit you hard, some things you have some further questions about, maybe even some things that disturbed you. I mean, it is a, or was and is, a very challenging topic. Same-sex attraction, homosexuality, transgender, all of that. I mean, it's very challenging. But it is in our face today. It's not something that's, you know, way back there. I mean, it's right here, right? And we do need to be prepared, not just aware, but be prepared to give an answer. But we also need to be prepared to love like Jesus. And I think probably the biggest thing for many of us is just how do we actually love like Jesus, depending on how you feel about people that live in such a way. And I'll start it off, right? In my history, not now, but in my history, I have struggled with men who, let's say, are very effeminate. I struggled with it. And then one day I thought, there's one day I really was struggling. And then the thought hit me, you know what? They need Jesus just like I do. And then I got convicted with where I was at. And it's something I constantly challenge myself on. And so Jennifer and I and the girls, when we were back in Atlanta, had, you know, a family discussion about it all. And I was very open with how I struggle. And I said, but as a Christian, I have to constantly repent. And I said, I'm working on that. Constantly working on that. And so we have had, when Sydney went to school, you know, a number of her friends in and out, you know, of that lifestyle and not really sure, you know, where they were. And so we made a big effort to have them in our home, do activities with them, that type of thing, so they would feel like, hey, yeah, this house will be loved in. And actually, that's what it grew into. So, but it is something that's real. And so I don't know what you think about me now, knowing what I struggle with, but I'm not really that concerned, because we all struggle, right? I just want you to know it's safe to say the deal, right? And it shouldn't be too much of a surprise that we struggle, we sin. So this particular area brings out a lot. And so even when I talked about being exposed, you know, on Sunday, and when we were with Guy Saturday night for dinner, what I felt exposed with was really in the area of marriage. I mean, here I am thinking, okay, you did not have a physical attraction to your wife. She knew it, and she married you anyway. And you guys had a love for one another that, you know, if you didn't hear what Guy shared, you wouldn't know that. And I was like, oh, I've just been challenged. That type of love? Like, man. I mean, it was like, yeah, you think you love your wife? Really? I mean, it's challenging. And I was pressing him, you know, on Saturday at dinner. Ron and I both, dude, you need to start teaching some marriage classes. That's what you need to do. Even if it's writing a book, add it to your weekend or whatever it is. This is what you need to be doing. Because it has you know, the scope of it is so much larger, yeah. Right? So anyway, I can share more with you, you know, one-on-one or in groups or whatever, but we do want to open it up tonight. So what we'll do, we'll open it up for a few minutes, and then we'll come back, and then we'll have some, you know, some questions. Some of the things that Guy put out there, you know, this weekend, and say, well, how'd you feel about this one? And so this is just the start. But if we're going to have impact in that community, we need to start talking about this and working on getting our hearts right. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I'll put one more out to you. So he talked about that this being a safe place for men and women that live that lifestyle, right? That they feel like they can come here, be safe, not be judged, things like that, right? So first of all, the whole judgment thing is something we need to be careful about. And I'll just lay this out here to you. It's very easy for us, the disciples, not every disciple, but disciples here in the Charlotte church, to judge one another. So I'm talking about all y'all. I want to be clear. Now, not every person, but I have had enough conversations in the last 2 weeks, and I'm like, wow, you chose the easy path. It's easy to go that route. Why not ask questions with belief in the person first before we judge them? And so Jennifer made a comment. She was like, we got problems loving people that vote different than us. How are we going to have, you know, a man, two men in church holding hands, maybe kissing, two women, you know, showing great affection? If we have problems with brothers and sisters that vote different, how are we going to have impact there? You know what I'm saying? So we got some growing to do. We have growth opportunities. Amen? It's opportunities. Yeah. But it's all good, though, because God is working. So, we'll open it up. Enrique.
First of all, it's an amazing opportunity to hear you guys. And I was more excited about the kids being able to, the children being able to be there. And because we were talking about, and it said 13 and up and all, and gee, you just turned 13 and all. Mm. And but Heather and I talked about it, and so we're like, are we going to drop them off the grandparents or what? And Heather's like, you know what, we were just in App State, and Jonathan was part of a math thing. And everything over there, the university, like all the signs were like LGBT this and that and bathrooms here and there, etc. So you can't really avoid it anymore. You know, it's like, it's one of those things that's just in your face. And so what are we going to do about it? So Heather thought, I think it'd be a great opportunity for the kids and then for us to open it up. And so the message on Sunday, I think, was eye-opening to them because we had an opportunity to talk about it. And but one of the things, and I asked Jonathan as well, is there anything you want to bring up or ask a question about? And he said that, you know, because they have friends and some of them are, you know, same-sex attracted and all. And then, but they also have friends who are like, you know, one of the kids' friends. He's really against it. He's a Christian, supposed to be a Christian and all. But, you know, in his mind is like he's been taught to almost hate, you know, and almost like bad mouth. And so his question was like, how can we talk to those people? You know, how can we begin a conversation with people who feel that way? And I know it all starts with us, but what we can do as a church to help us even have an opportunity to talk to people who might feel that way, or even feel comfortable to talk, invite people out to church. You know, because I was just in Seoul, Korea. I visited my cousin there, and he was actually same-sex attracted, you know, so he's been living that lifestyle, and I was there to help. And one of my big questions as well is like, you know, if somebody, at what point is it, you know, if somebody becomes a Christian, is it okay for them to still love the person that they were with, you know, for 30 years? You know, at what point do you just cut it off completely? So I've had some conversations with disciples about it, and even asked that question to Guy, and that's another conversation we're having. At what point do you say, no, you can't even, you know, where's the gray, if they're not sinning, if they're saying, okay, no more, you know, sin, you know, as far as the act of it, but is it still okay to love that person and et cetera, you know? You know, so those are just some of the questions there, I think.
I think it's a great opportunity to learn and talk about these things.
Amen. So. Amen. Let's go to Delise. I'm trying.
Hi. I have 2 points. I think each of us as disciples, we all have a sin that really irks us and that really makes us have feel hatred or feel very strongly about. Like mine is pedophiles. I have a that is something that I have to, even in my job, when I come across people who are perpetrators of child abuse, I have to purposely put on the armor of God before I address that person. So that's one thing that we all have to check our hearts about so that we can show the love of Jesus. For in regards to the LGBT community, Jamal and I have made it a very pointed time to make sure that we show love, like Rodney was saying. It is love covers a multitude of sins, and when our friend, our children, their friends who are in the LGBT community, they feel love, they hear, they see the love of Jesus when they come to our house, and they know that they're going to get hugged, they're going to get fed, just like their heterosexual friends. They know that they are going to hear, and I've had multiple ones of their friends and people that we know who are LGBT who will listen to God's word because we show love first. And it does not diminish your convictions. Like, I'm not going to go to a gay wedding. That is a conviction that I have because I feel like a wedding is a spiritual matrimony. It is not just the state. It is church for sure, and God made it between a man and a woman. So, but I put it in the same category to help my children, and I teach them, it's the same category of sexual immorality. No, you're not supposed to be hating on prostitutes, but make it clear, like, no, I don't want you to keep prostituting, please, but it's sexual immorality. So it is a type of sexual immorality. And so just to kind of help us to be mindful of that, that we need to show love first. And there are scriptures that talk about mercy triumphs over judgment. Also, one that we can tend to struggle with is do not condemn yourself by what you approve of. Just because you love someone and you show love and kindness and respect to someone does not mean you approve of their lifestyle. My children, if they're sexually immoral before marriage, I do not approve of that. That does not mean I'm going to stop loving them.
Hey, Ron, go right back there.
Back here?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a situation hit pretty close to home, and I read a book. I just wanted to give you guys a reference. It's called Gay Girl, Good God.
Yes.
Please read it.
It's a great book.
It was some of the deepest quiet times for me, and it really helped me know how to approach, by Jackie Hill Perry. I thought it was just going to help me with the gay question situation that I had going on with a friend of mine. Not me personally, but a friend of mine who is struggling with this. But it brought me so much closer to God, because to see the struggle that these people have, I chose God because my life was a mess and I was ready for God to fix it. But when someone who is homosexual turns to God, they turn to God not because it's going to be easier, but because they know it's going to be hard, but they want God. And it just challenged my heart so much in my relationship with God. Like, am I following God because he's going to fix what I've messed up? And he sure has, but just to understand what a hard choice that is for them, and that when they do, they're really turning purely for Jesus. So if you read that book, it will not only help you with this, but it'll also challenge your relationship with God.
A couple of years ago, there was a sister in the Triangle Church. She had a daughter that was gay. And they had a softball team, and they allowed her gay daughter and her partner to play on the team. And they were open, and, they felt really the couple felt really good about it. Well, one of them moved to Charlotte and started looking for our church. And she came out the church and I met her. And she said, yeah, I was on the softball team in the Triangle Church, and my partner and I were on the team, and I moved to Charlotte, and I heard there was a sister church, and so I'm coming out here and just wanted to see what you all were about. And so we asked her to start studying the Bible. And she started studying the Bible. At that time, I really didn't know what her relationship was. And I remember sitting in midweek and just talking to her, and she said, yeah, I just got a relationship with another woman. And I'm like, what? It took me by surprise. But we studied the Bible, and we went over scriptures, and she changed her life. And she became your sister in Christ. My husband and I hooked her up with a young brother. They got married here in the church, and they actually have a daughter. And for me, it all started with the Triangle Church, with them accepting her and her partner on their softball team. Because if they hadn't done it, she wouldn't have felt comfortable of coming to Charlotte and looking for our church. So the way we treat people, they may not, you know, be here, but they may go to one of our sister churches, and the way that we treat them may have an impact on them.
Wow.
And with the question the guy had, because she was in a relationship here also, and she had questions about her partner, and we treated just as like if you were in an immoral relationship with a man. If that attraction is still there and there's temptation, then you kind of need to cut it off and do it as you would if it was just a woman and a guy who were living together.
So. Wow. Wow. All right, we got time for one more. Let's go with Bev.
So I grew up in a family where someone was gay, and so I tried really, really hard to make sure that they didn't think I was gay. So I went the opposite way of just going after guy over and over again, but it was right in my face at 11, and my dad is the one that told me, and it was my mom, because we had two gay women rent from us, and one was attracted to my mother, so she became bi. This is still hard for me, but anyway, so I hated her for so long because before that, she got divorced. My dad and her got divorced. My dad went after women and she went after men, and it was all in our face. And we were like, my brother and I were, we felt like we were in the way of the situation. So anyway, I had to deal with that. And I was talking to Guy, and I was like, I'm so bitter because I had to deal with that stuff. And pretty much, I said, and I want to forgive her. And that's what he talked about. And he said, I said, I realize she doesn't have the spirit. He goes, that's right, that's right. But the one thing that stood out to me is that gay people are looking for holiness. And now I'm able to forgive my mother more, but I really have to work through that. And so anyway, Courtney now, she has friends that are gay or bi or whatever. And so I'm able to relate to her in the sense of helping her through helping her friends. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that, but they need hope just like us. They just want to be holy. And even though it's a challenge, just like it is for Rodney, it's a challenge for me. But I have to realize that no matter what, I have to love them. Just if somebody, you know, if one of my kids decided to have sex before marriage, you know, I would still love them. So if that helps.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it's real stuff, right? And, you know, I think another kind of underlying, maybe not even underlying, it's just right there, for us as disciples, is we don't want to do this, I think many of us, but we do it a lot. We expect non-Christians to act like Christians. And so, you know, I think Guy did a very good job, you know, over the weekend making that distinction. Non-Christians are going to act like non-Christians. Now, there are some non-Christians out there that have a pretty good life. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about just how they treat people and just their outlook on mankind. You know, some of it can be like, wow, that's convicting to me, man. Wow. And you don't even love the Lord, right? But that's there. But I think we really all have to look at our hearts and not expecting non-Christians to act like Christians. I mean, really don't expect it. You know, it'll help us, actually, in a big way. So, I think, Ron, you've got a question you want to hit him with?
Okay, so moving to the next question, the next area. You'll take it? Okay. When Guy talked about, you know, and we have just shared how important it is for us to love, and you remember those of you that were at the workshop when he shared a quote, I believe it was the guy's name was Mark Lowry, and we have always heard this thought about, you know, I'm going to, right, love the sinner and hate the sin, right? And he shared that, well, turning it around, he talked about, right, why not love the sinner and hate your sin? And talked about how if both of us hated our own sin and focused on loving each other, you know, great things obviously could happen, and the judgment, right, comes out of it. When Guy shared about, he said that for the Christian, that the opposite of homosexuality is not heterosexuality. It's not being a heterosexual. But he said it was what?
Holiness.
He says that's what it is for the Christian. I want to put out before you, what did that say to you? What did you hear in that when you hear that the opposite of homosexuality for the Christian is not being heterosexual in your thoughts or necessarily in your attractions? Because that might not happen, right? I mean, in Guy's case, it never did. It never changed. And yet he's an incredible Christian, right? So, you know, but he says that the opposite is holiness. What does that say to you? Okay?
Yeah. For me, it said that the focus is not about sexuality. In any situation, in all circumstances, just like in Ecclesiastes, it's always about God. So regardless of what the situation is, the struggle is, you can pare all that down to falling short of the glory of God and all being about God. So.
Amen. Okay. All right. Right behind you, Rodney. Martin.
I think the what that means to me is, let's take the homosexuality out of it and just call it sin. And put brackets. You could put any sin in there. The opposite of sin is holiness or God's will. I can either choose to sin or I can choose to do God's will.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, so let's see. Let's go over here. Laura.
I think it's in our culture, maybe our DNA, to think that we're that when we become Christians, our problems are going to go away, or our struggles are going to go away. And in my own life, I've found through each season of life that I often go through, you know, what is a typical struggle for me, a new season will bring that struggle back up. I struggle with depression. And so, you know, changes in seasons or circumstances, I'm going to face that battle.
Right.
And I think it's a more having the freedom to focus on holiness as opposed to focusing on perfection.
Yeah.
Is a real freedom. And I loved what he said. I'm still kind of trying to process that. But I think for all of us, we would love one another much more deeply if we just embraced that we're broken,
yeah,
and that we're always going to be broken.
Right.
And focus on living as a holy life as we can with God's Spirit, and being grateful that in our brokenness He loves us. He didn't save us for perfection. He saved us because He loves us.
That's right.
So I hope that it creates this weekend creates a deeper empathy maybe for one another, and in situations, and a willingness, even if we don't understand it or it freaks us out a little bit, whatever it is, that we just, it kind of helps us to take a deep breath and remember our brokenness and that we're all in it together.
Amen.
You remember as well, and I was talking with Sharon earlier, and she shared with me, Sharon Lee, and she was talking just how much it impacted her when Guy shared that God would rather have us with all of our mess or with all that we have than not have us. God wants us, you know, even with, you know, our challenges, our hurts, our struggles, our attractions, our pulls. So, yeah. Okay. Let's go here, Carla. It's coming to you. Carla.
I've been following Guy since he came a couple years ago. He's a remarkable man. And
yes.
I was talking to Paulette here, and I was like, the homosexuality is not any different than the crazy heterosexuality world I was in before I became a Christian. It's totally not any different. And even I think of my brothers and sisters who are still single and never got married. And when I became a disciple, I made a decision, I will not do this again. Because I love God. And I think it's just so much respect to have for my brothers and sisters that may not be married, and that is okay. But that struggle is so real. And as Martin had said, that it's just sin, holiness and sin. And I think about Guy and his respect for his wife and how deeply he loved her. And even in a heterosexual marriage, we also fall short.
Yeah.
And we fall out of love. And we fall out of hope and faith that we can make it through. And we think about drug addiction. We think about adultery that happens in marriage. We think about everything that occurs and the struggles that our society, our children are dealing with, that they're facing in the schools. I've been broken by it, and it scares me. But the compassion that we can have just to see our own brokenness, mm-hmm, and to see what's been given to us and to be able to share it so willingly with other people is powerful. So that's what I got out of the opposite of heterosexuality. Is not our homosexuality is not heterosexuality, it is holiness.
It's
and
holiness.
We all made that decision when we chose to put on Christ.
Right, right. Okay. And let's go here, Ezekiel.
I was very convicted by that statement, because I think I'm one of those persons who struggle with judgment, especially of people with same attraction. It's not very well seen in Mexico where I come from. Anyways. But it reminded me of the scripture in John 8, you know, when the woman was caught in adultery,
mm-hmm,
and they brought her to Jesus, you know, with all the people accusing them and ready to throw stones at her. Because they might not have been adulterers themselves, you know, so it was easy to judge her. But then when Jesus said, he who is free of sin, throw the first stone. So he put the standard as holiness, you know. And then, so it makes me think about the same way, you know. If I'm going to judge a person who has a same-sex attraction, and because I don't have it, that doesn't put me on the same level. But if I'm going to think, I'm going to throw a stone, if I'm free of sin, you know, I have other struggle. My struggle is lost, you know. And so if I put it on that one, am I holy on that one? And then it will be easy for me to throw the stone and then think about that, you know.
Amen.
Okay, one more, and then I'll turn it over to Rodney for the next question. But Melissa, can we go right here?
Yep. One of the scriptures that is important to me, I studied the Bible with someone that was homosexual a few years ago, and it was something that was definitely a challenge for her. She'd studied the Bible many times before with other people, and I shared with her about 2 Corinthians 12, and that Paul tells us that we all have a thorn in our side, every single one of us. And that's what helps us go and be dependent on God and to go to help for Him, for us, for our hearts, for who we are as people. And so I explained to her, I said, homosexuality is your thorn. That is. Like, that doesn't mean that it's going to go away. It will be there always. Because God did tell us that we will always have that thorn. But what you do with that thorn is what makes you holy.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Ooh, Syracuse. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, we're going to switch it up a little bit. Next question. Now, I want to get the teens involved.
All right.
See all the support? See all that support?
Yeah.
Okay, now how many of you, and just so I know in terms of a number, how many of you actually were here either Friday or Saturday? Okay, so a decent amount. Okay, so here's the question I have, and if you just don't want to answer, that's fine. You're not forced to, but it would be great to hear from you, all right? And I'm sure some adults want to answer this also. But the question is, do you think it's fair that God puts limits on sexuality?
Ooh.
Personally, like before I became baptized, I really believe that people should love who they should want to love. But then after I became baptized, I realized that God did what He did for a reason, and we may not understand that everything that He does, but we just have to accept it and learn from it. So that's kind of what I think about it.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so for me, I think it's like not fair from one sense of it, but another sense I feel like it is fair because that protects us from like so much out there, and God's just doing that like for us. He's not doing that like to punish us or because He thinks that like we're terrible people and we need to be like put like very strict limits and stuff. So I just think like in the long run it's fair, but then at the moment it feels like God's just being like kind of terrible, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can respect that.
Okay. Thanks. I don't think any kind of worldly love is worth abandoning God's love over. So, I mean, I don't think it's like fair, but there are a lot of things that are unfair, and you just kind of have to get over that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm the oldest teen, so no. So in our family, we talk about boundaries a lot because everybody needs boundaries. Without boundaries, you don't know where to stop, you know, and you don't know what that line is. And you know, the goal is to stay as far away from the line as possible. But
right.
I think without limitations or without rules, without boundaries, we would live in a chaotic world, more chaotic than it is now. And I mean, whose standard would we live by? You know, and in fact, I had D time with one of my girls today, and we were talking about that. Like, it has to be God's standards. And because for those of us who said Jesus is Lord, you know, we're saying Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I mean, for myself personally, I became a disciple when I was 19. And, you know, just like many of you, I had made a mess of my life. And so I was like, God, I need you to fix this because everything I tried to do to fix it, it's just getting worse.
Mm.
So when I became a disciple, there were very tight boundaries, you know? And, or it felt really very tight, but I'm so grateful for that because it's all those boundaries and all those rules that helped me to stay pure my entire Christian life for 25 years. And even when Sean and I were dating, you know, like we were like, we are not going to kiss, we're just going to hold hands and talk once a week, and you know, but I mean, very tight boundaries, but it saved us from so much out there. So very, very grateful for that.
Let me ask kind of a connected question. In your schools, what is the thought about sex, sexuality? What are the thoughts? How do people act? Oh, you're over there. Gotcha. Let's go first with L, and then we'll come back. You keep it. Keep it. Let it keep it.
Okay, hang on.
Start with that. It should be, yes. Is the green light on? Yes. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
It's his fault.
Sorry. Oh, there it goes.
It's
okay,
Jose's
okay.
fault.
I really like to get to talk to adults about this question because I feel like there is a distance in generations in what we think of sex. I think nowadays, walking through the hallways, talking with people, hearing conversations, it's a part of, it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you? How are you gonna know? Why would you marry that person if you don't have sex first? Like, and looking at teens and the way that they interact with each other and the way that they search for their identity is really strongly based on other people, like so strongly. And so for me, like becoming a disciple, it was like, all right, how do I separate myself from these people that I'm surrounded by 7 hours a day for 5 days a week? It's a lot. It's a lot to go to school and go to high school and be surrounded by all these people, but the question, how do you see sex in your schools? It's very prominent, and it's very like, have sex. Oh my gosh, y'all have been talking for a month. Like, what are you doing? Why are you not doing that? And I think it's hard because it's also sort of like, there's some people who believe, like, I hear a lot, like, no, I don't believe in God. I believe in love. I believe in that there's a greater power that connects us all and that like contributes to our creation and produces kindness and all that stuff. And it's hard to be like, or to tell people who believe that there's a God who like condemns us and is like, you're doing that wrong and you're doing that wrong, and who are so against religion, to be like, that's not how he views you. He views you as he would give up nations for you, give up people for you. He loves you. And so that's where I feel like it's lacking with teens in my high school, that people don't feel loved. So it's like they turn to these worldly aspects and these worldly things to find what they're looking for and to find identity and to fill that hole in themselves that only God can fill. And that, like,
having a life, and also to answer the question, like, is it fair? I think, when I think about that, I think of, is it fair for someone to get cancer? It's not, but something I've been learning and thinking about is how to look at people who have suffered a lot and how they deal with that suffering. Instead of looking at people like, wow, they've accomplished so much, they are an all-star athlete, straight A's, all that stuff. It's like, no, that person has suffered a lot and they've overcome a lot. So I think when someone on their heart feels same-sex attracted but wants to find God, they're going to suffer a lot and they're going to overcome that. And I look up to that so much because that's not something I struggle with, but I admire you because you want to overcome that. You want to find God in that and have Jesus as being better than what this world would give you. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I go to an art school,
okay.
Right? So they're very open about sexuality
right.
there.
Right, right.
And but even like with like heterosexual sex, it's like a lot of even the people who call themselves Christian at my school will say, well, no, I'm not going to have sex until marriage. But, you know, like if I know that I'm going to marry that person anyway, like if I love them a lot, then what's the difference? You know, I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I feel like sometimes they can get too, like even people who want to be judged the least, like even like people of the LGBT community, people who have sex before marriage, and they're like, oh, you shouldn't judge anyone else, you're a Christian, right? But they get to a point where, like, I've known people who have judged me for not wanting to have sex outside of marriage. You know, like, I know people who don't want to be judged the most can also become judgmental.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay. So let me ask another question. How many of you in your schools, either you have friends that are either gay, lesbian, same-sex attracted, you know them, they're either friends of yours, you either know them or they're friends of yours. How many of you guys that does that pertain to? Okay. Is it hard to talk with them about Jesus? And if it is, what makes it hard? It's not hard. Oh. Ron's got it. I guess I need to do like this.
P.S. I am definitely a teen and in a high school. Definitely not 11. Okay, so one day, my friend Ava came back from a vacation she had in Disney World, and she had short hair and a rainbow scarf on, and I was joking, and I was like, hey, are you gay or something? And she said, yes. And, wait, what was that question? Well, so I kind of was like, oh,
yeah.
So for a couple of weeks, I started, you know, avoiding her and being like, oh, no,
yeah.
And so one, you know, just kind of very difficult to, you know, like accept that. And then, you know, forgot what I was gonna say.
But you did really well, because we can relate to that right there.
And just to share a little bit more, Ava is one of his best friends.
Yeah.
You know, so it was difficult for him to accept that.
Yeah.
Or just experience it, not
right.
accept it.
Right.
But they're still friends and all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean that's something we can relate to, right? I mean, he says it and then he realizes, what should I do now, right? So we got a good opportunity to help on out, right? And pray, you know, for that situation. But you know, we can relate to that. Yes, Jay.
So I'm not in public school anymore, but when I was, I did have not really friends, but acquaintances who were gay and lesbian, and I was always kind of labeled as a homophobe just because I was a Christian. And I think that a lot of people that are in the LGBTQ community, especially in high school, view all Christians as homophobes. And it's really sad because that's not how we should be viewed. That's not how we should be loving them, you know? And so, so yeah, it can be hard to talk to them sometimes just because they do just, they don't even want to listen to me because they're just, oh, you're a homophobe. You hate me because I'm gay, because I'm lesbian. And so, yeah, a lot of the times they don't want to listen to you. So yeah, that can be hard.
Yeah. Hey guys, go ahead, sorry.
So for me, I'm like a kind of like basic Kingdom kid where I just did a lot of like the right stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people just kind of know me as like, oh, she's like the good kid or whatever. So a lot of like my friends that have been like gay or whatever, they've been like, oh, well, like, why are you trying to like talk to me about this? Like, you already know like how I stand and stuff. And like, you're just trying to make me Christian and all this kind of stuff, you know? So it's just like kind of hard sometimes because they just kind of blow you off.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that I learned, the thing that Guy even talked about a lot is about how love will can conquer all. Now that doesn't mean everybody's gonna respond to, you know, our love, but we're still called to love. And if nothing else, then when we have loved like Jesus, we have taken away their excuse, at least about us. Right? Because we don't want to be anybody's excuse. Right? But I think we have a great opportunity to really show love in a great way because it challenges, you know, just who we are and where we may stand. Right? So, anyway, guys, I really appreciate you getting involved. Amen. I appreciate that.
Okay, we have time for one more. All right, so. No, one more question. So we can have a few answers, so. Okay. When Guy was talking about, wants to respond to that last one. When Guy shared, like, and we talked earlier, how incredible it was that really in all of his Christian life, right, and even of his 28 years of marriage, same-sex attraction never changed. That never changed. But again, he held to, right, God's sexual ethics and the standards in the Bible to, you know, holiness, you know, being what is the call of the hour. But when he said, and I was talking with Sean as well, Solis, and he too emphasized this, that it really struck him, and that when Guy said, you know, I've messed up a lot in my life, but two things I did really well. You know, I was a great husband, and I was a great dad. And he might have even said awesome, I don't know, but he's, you know, but he was referring to that, you know, I gave my all, you know, and my wife, he said, felt like $1 million, you know, because I really gave to her and loved her. And he shared in the workshop that he really focused on the relational side of it, the spiritual side, and the emotional side of the relationship. And because of that, he had an incredible relationship. Now, I don't want the teens or singles to turn this off because I think this relates to every area. I wanted to ask you, because, like, you know, again, thinking about that he was not ever physically attracted to his wife, but she felt like $1 million. She felt loved. And they even had, you know, a good physical relationship. But because he focused on the spiritual and the emotional, you know, side of things, and the relational side of things, you know, that relationship was phenomenal. And And I thought, you know, how challenging that was. Sean and I were thinking about that. Wow, I want to be able, if you could say anything, I was a great dad. I was a great husband. Want to be able to say that. That's the, you know, God calls me to that. But the fact that he did not have that attraction, I thought about the fact that, think about any relationship, relationships in the church, relationships with one another, relationships in your family, relationship with God. How many people will say, right, after a while, I don't feel it anymore. I'm not attracted to what I was attracted to before, you know, with God or Jesus or the Bible. And they leave God, or their relationships aren't what they should be because they don't feel certain things. You know, so when you hear Guy share that, this one is more, you know, broader. What speaks to you, you know, about the power, you know, of making the right choices like he did in relationships and not going by feeling or attraction? You know, and how can that really strengthen our relationship with God, our relationships with one another, and our relationships in marriage? But across the board, yeah. Let's go over here, David.
I did. That shocked me as well. It was great to hear it, that Guy would point that out, because, I mean, when you think about the relationship, most of us, oftentimes the heterosexual relationships start on the physical attraction, right?
Yeah.
But when you add in the fact that it's really what sustains you in life, what keeps you going, what keeps you in the relationship, the attraction is going to wane, highs and lows. If you become emotionally bonded, you really care about each other, you become friends, you actually want them to succeed irrespective of what happens with you, so you're really wanting to raise them up more than your own self. Mm. And as Guy was just, the example that he was there was that he gave all he had to give to that relationship. In so doing, he was also overcoming his own pet sin, as I call it. I mean, we all have something like that in our life where it dogs us all our life. Doesn't mean we can't be successful about keeping it in the background, but it dogs us all our life. And Jesus did it for us, right? He took everything that he might have wanted, pushed all that aside, and gave to us. And that example was just like, Guy just put it all out there in front, and sounds like he was successful, which is awesome.
And we can be too. Okay.
Yeah. I guess when I think about that from that perspective, you know, I always think about, you know, Jesus loved us first. And that's, regardless of what place we were, he loved us first. And we are the parents of a same-sex attracted daughter, and who's actually taking the step to become married. And, you know, that is a big, big challenge for us in our household, how not only just between my wife and I, but just how we raised our household. And, you know, it makes me really question a lot of things about even the decisions that I made of, hell yeah, sure, it's great to go over to these sleepovers and different things like that. You know, I still have this, so I'm gonna need some time. I wasn't able to be here this past weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just wanted to share a little story of when I did go to the wedding, Sheila did not. And that was, you know, we discussed that on how we were going to do that. I took a lot of counseling. She took a lot of counseling. And we made our respective decisions. And, you know, I decided I needed to be my daughter's father. That's what I needed to be. And I don't regret my decision in any way, and Sheila doesn't regret her decision, because we stand by what, you know, we feel like we, how we can interpret the scripture. And I did a first dance with my daughter, and then something took me and said, you know what, you need to dance with her spouse. And she's very
this girl is very shy, whatever, and it really embarrassed her, but she did it. And I turned around, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house, you know, because that just meant so much to her family to say, you know what, there is still love. There is still love, regardless of they knew how we felt, but they still could see the love. And that I don't regret being there, so.
Amen. Amen, bro. Okay, maybe one more for our time. Okay.
Are you guys okay with a few more?
No. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's go over here. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Actually, let's take one more. All right, that's it. We'll just take one more. And it was over here, was it? Okay. Okay. Let's go, Kalina.
Where?
Kalina, right here.
So I actually have a sister who is a lesbian, and this is something that like started with her when she was a teenager, and I was really encouraged because I got to have a conversation with Guy on Sunday about, you know, like, how can I be my sister's friend? And because I know I'm her sister, but how can I be her friend? And continue to let her know that, you know, I love her, even though I don't approve with the way that, you know, she chooses to live her life. And so the encouragement that he gave me was to, you know, just continue to love her and to have a conversation with her, letting her know that you love her, and letting her know that, you know, I really want to have like a spiritual conversation with her when she's ready.
Right.
And I was able to have that conversation with my sister later on that Sunday, and it went really, really well. And so, you know, her response was basically, that's something that I really have to think about. And when I get to that point where, you know, I've made a decision, I'll let you know. But I just wanted to confirm and let her know that that I do love her, and that, you know, like, my sister is one of my best friends and stuff like that. But I just want to, you know, encourage people that have, you know, family members who are gay, that, you know, to still love them, and that's to right. still you know, let them know that, you know, you're there for them.
So. Amen. 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 Well, on that, I'm incredibly appreciate everybody's sharing and openness and your thoughts, you know, on this. And Guy did say in the workshop, and because this theme has come across over and over and over, our need to love, right? And he said that there were two, you know, responses from the world, and that's either, you know, you are repent or perish, you're totally against, or, you know, you approve or completely approve. And he said, but how about a third choice, you know? And he called it hospitality, but he calls it love. You know, why not have, you know, the people in your home? Why not reach out to them, you know, wherever they are, and be a friend? Why not give in love? That we know, you know, that's what Jesus would tell us to do. And that is really our call, you know, to continue to love. That we know never fails. We know that is always going to be the answer, you know, that God would call us to do. So if whenever in doubt, let's love. It's been a great time together tonight, and we don't want to keep anybody too late, and hopefully we can continue in our fellowship and have a great night. All right.